Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
I'm Raymond Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestling.
Probably.
You will do stuff to the oven.
Today we're going to be talking about the seventh serial of the third season of Doctor Who, The Gunfighters, which consists of four episodes, A Holiday for the Doctor, Don't Shoot the Pianist, Johnny Ringo, and the OK Corral, and those aired from April 30th, 1966 to May 21st, 1966, and that was a...
Joe Facts!
Those were some Joe Facts.
Those were some Joe Facts.
I watched most of those episodes today because... I had all week to do it, and I didn't, but today is also the last day that BBC content is available for streaming in the US. So I'm like, I gotta watch it now or else.
We don't know what we're gonna do.
We didn't realize that until we were watching this, and it like had the little, this will expire, and we were like, no.
So we're gonna have to like start getting DVDs or something.
Because we have been watching them all on Hulu.
Oh, we should probably introduce the guy who's been talking.
This is Ray Heath.
This is a returning guest. This is his third episode.
Woo!
Mr. Ray Friesen, everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty great.
What's been going on with you since last we heard from you?
Okay, my 1-year-old son is a jerk.
I've never met a 1-year-old who wasn't.
We had him trained pretty well on how to sleep properly. And just this past week, he's decided to do it completely differently. So, like, my wife and I are just zombies because he'll pop up at 4 o'clock in the morning wanting to play. And we'll be like, no. So this morning when you guys boot me saying, hey, are you ready for the podcast? My wife and my son were asleep and I had to lost myself. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything that anybody wants me to do. And this is Raymond's golden time because I don't have much time to myself these days. It's so sad. I mean, I have to spend it with loved ones, whatever. But having a quiet house is the best time to do some writing. And I haven't really done any writing since my son was born. So I was writing some comical books. Other than that, I can finally talk about Small Gods.
Woo!
I'm so excited.
So I drew the graphic novel adaptation of a Terry Pratchett book. Terry Pratchett's one of my favorite authors, and yours too, or else. And I still can't say all that much about it because I'm not in charge of the publicity for the book, but I drew a Discworld book, and it'll be out in July.
And if you want to know the plot, well, there's already a book out.
It has been out since 1994, so I guess it's that could still be spoilers, but it's you had your chance.
I've been super excited about that.
Well, you guys helped me do some coloring for that, their book, and then you left me in the lurch because y'all got real jobs.
We did.
Yeah, we got swamped with other real life crap.
Really, every coloring assistant I laid my hands on was good for about 10 pages, and then they couldn't do it anymore. So it's a 120-page book. There are 12 coloring assistants in the credits. I wore them all out. Well, I meant to rewatch Tombstone for this episode to prep reality versus fiction stuff just to get my hands on the actual story because this is a historical. I've watched Tombstone in bits and pieces, but I don't think I've ever seen it the whole way through. It's like my dad's favorite movie, and it's always halfway over with him asleep on the couch. That's my experience of watching Tombstone.
I will say, probably surprising to no one who listens to this podcast, I know nothing about Westerns at all because I hate them.
You hate them?
Okay, I mean, like, I don't hate, like, all Westerns, but I couldn't say, like, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch a Western.
Not a fan of the genre.
No.
I wouldn't say that I hate them, I just haven't watched all that many of them. Probably most about what I know about the West comes from Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Like, this was one that, like, Joe knew stuff. He's like, oh, the OK Corral. And I was like, I know that's a thing, but that's it. That's the extent of my knowledge. I know that it's a thing that exists.
Much like Ray, my recollections, or what I was like, oh, yeah, I know what this kind of is from vague recollections of watching Tombstone. Yeah,
Tombstone.
Which all I really remember is, like, Val Kilmer's amazing in that movie. That's all I really remember. There's that scene where he's like twirling the teacup or whatever.
I want revenge for being born.
And I'll be your Huckleberry. That's like the extent of my knowledge. Though I gotta say, watching the serial, I was like, I'd like to watch Tombstone again.
That is what I was thinking the whole time. Because this was, I'm sure we'll delve into it. This wasn't exactly an episode of Doctor Who. This was just the production wanted to do a Western, and the Doctor was around.
They really don't contribute much to the plot.
No, the TARDIS team...
Except for, like, comic relief.
Don't do terribly much.
Yeah, no, the Doctor's like, Wyatt Earp, what should we do?
What does he call him, though? Because he doesn't call him Earp.
He keeps calling him Worp.
Was that a joke in the script, or is just William Hartnell being William Hartnell?
Who knows?
I don't know. But there's, like, a moment where, like, Steven says Worp, and there's, like, no, wait, no, it's Wyatt Earp.
He says Worp. Earp.
I feel like it's one of those things where William Hartnell made a mistake and then all the other people decided to exacerbate it and turn it into a thing.
They're just like, we're just going to run with this. I never am really quite confident how much is William Hartnell just making mistakes and how much is him being intentionally like...
Doddery? Is that
yes.
The word?
So
let's
dive
in.
The Gunfighters.
I think I picked this one just because it had a cool sounding title. When you asked what episode I'd like to be a part of, I'm like, the Gunfighters. They fight with guns, so that's good.
Also, we were like, we're going to promote our Western sketch.
I've been trying to do the ADR in our Western sketch. It's really hard.
I know. I've been like, oh, I don't want to do it.
When Joe came and visited, for those of you at home who are not the three of us, when Joe came and visited me here in California land, we went out to the desert and filmed a hilarious cowboy sketch that the wind ruined all the dialogue of. And trying to re-dialogue it has been hard for me, anyway. I don't know about you. You're like a dude who knows about stuff.
I haven't attempted anything yet. I will, though. I will. It's on my list of things to do. Like, it's literally right on our wall right there. It says, edit pistols.
It's on my list of things for Joe to do as well. Get on that.
But anyway, first episode is A Holiday for the Doctor.
So, really, the whole plot of this, when they were, you know, in the writer's room coming up with ideas, is like, well, he's called the Doctor. And he's called Doc Holliday, so what? That's a story, right?
we can play with that somehow.
We can make it work.
The last serial we watched ended with the Doctor biting into a caramel. And
then, we think that it's poisoned.
Because it was from a bad guy. But really, no, it's just the Doctor's old and has bad teeth.
Okay, so this episode begins, the Doctor has a toothache, and they decide that the American West is the best place to receive medical care.
That drives me a little crazy. So I'm like, go, don't get your tooth taken out here.
True, you have no, like, control over where you're going, but, like, go somewhere else.
Right, it probably only takes you, like, 3 times tops to get to somewhere with a better, like...
healthcare system.
That's the thing at this point, right? It's like they don't know where they're going to go, but there's really nothing to keep them there if they don't want to. Because they do. They step out of the TARDIS and they're like, well, I guess we're here now. Let's get a room in the hotel. It's like, no, just leave.
Just try somewhere else where they have painkillers.
And it's so weird. He's like, I gotta have my tooth pulled. I mean, no, you don't. You could go somewhere with, like, even in the 60s, was that the only solution? Like, oh, no, you can't go to, like, a space hospital and they'll give him Novocaine. Like, that's not an option. That bothered me. Was that based on, do you know if Doc Holliday really was trying to become a dentist? Because, like, I feel like one of them stumbled across that fact and was like, hey, I've got an idea. Because that's just really weird.
We're using this.
Well, I mean, I do think he was actually a doctor, so, because, I mean... Doc Holliday, so maybe.
I mean, anyone can call themselves Doc.
Yeah, I thought it was just because he thought he was a cool guy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the internet to answer my question. That's what I'm going to do.
Speaking of fantastic names.
Well, before we get to that, I want to just say what this episode opens with and continually plays
over
throughout
and over
the entirety
and over
of the serial.
Again.
The music, oh yeah, that song, they played it like 57 times an episode, It's your last chance to do
in the last chance saloon.
The Ballad of the Last Chance Saloon.
They had in the credits that was composed by somebody, I assume exclusively for them. So I'm like, we gotta get our money's worth. We paid for this song.
Like, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it even moves the plot forward. Like, it's like almost narration in a way. But then the other times... it just repeats the same shit you've heard 9,000 times already.
Okay, John Henry Doc Holliday was an American gambler, gunfighter, and dentist.
He was a dentist!
Although, to be fair, it's not like... I don't feel like you had to have that many qualifications to be a dentist.
You had to have a pair of pliers.
That's it.
Like, he didn't have any anesthetic or anything. He's like, I got some booze. Because of course he does.
He's like, I've got a pair of pliers, and I'm totally willing to take teeth out, so I'm a dentist.
And the doctor's like, I see no problem with this.
I see no reason to go back into the TARDIS and try again.
Like, I could imagine if earlier on the day, it's like, okay, the TARDIS has landed. It needs 12 hours to recharge. Like, that is something they should have introduced to explain why they never left these stupid places. They didn't, but, like, they should have.
That is totally reasonable.
So, they show up and, like, we're gonna stick around here, and they all, well, they all get suited up for the West, even though it's, like, really ridiculous West costumes.
I think 1955 Doc Brown dressed them.
Yeah. The Doctor wears a Stetson, yeah?
Yeah, because Stetsons are cool.
This is, yeah, is this the first? No, the Doctor's already started wearing hats and just enjoying them, right? He was wearing that French bombardier hat earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a nice hat.
Hats are cool has been around for quite some time. The Doctor Who keeps trying to do Westerns and they never quite succeed.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just because it's British.
I love seeing all the British people trying to do American accents, and it's like, they're pretty good, but every so often, they're not. You know, it's funny.
Also, it seemed like a handful of them were like, I guess I stutter. Like, there was more than one character that had a stutter.
Yeah, all the gang members. And they definitely would switch into Cockney every once in a while. I mean, it's not like Americans can do great British accents either. You have to be a talented actor to pull off talking in somebody else's idiom, and it's not easy. I told you my favorite story about that, right? Okay, so a couple years ago, I'm a cartoonist, and I was a guest at the Calgary Comic Convention.
You were a guest in their home?
I was a guest in their country, madam. They paid me to fly up there, and I flew up on the same plane as all the other media guests that were coming from California. You know, the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation. They're all in first class, and you have to walk past all of them to get to your seat. But we were picked up by one big bus full of celebrities plus random cartoonists. And I kid you not, James Marsters, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, was sat right next to Captain Picard, and they were having a conversation about doing fake accents. Captain Picard said, your English accent is really good for an American. I've tried to do an American accent, and I can't. And that was very amusing to me.
That is awesome.
Well, there were so many interesting side conversations going on in that car. It's really hard to know who to pay attention to. Probably I paid less attention to Captain Picard and more attention to Billy West and Jim Cummings were having a character voice-off competition, and it just sort of devolved into one doing Ren from Ren and Stimpy and the other doing Winnie the Pooh. Ad-libbing back and forth, Ren and Pooh is a show I would totally enjoy watching.
I love seeing voice actors do their voices.
Voice actors are the best. Again, speaking of putting on the accent of another country, I mean, you got to go to a voice actor. They've looked into the matter. I can do silly voices, but you can always tell that it's me.
You once did a voice in a Discworld animation. Both of us did.
Both of us were in it. Yeah, that was from Not Quite Normal. What's her face? Chelsea? She's legit.
Yeah, she's working on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now.
We know people who do things.
I know people, but I don't do anything like the people I know do.
No, you do things like you do.
Do you do things like you do?
Only sometimes.
Okay.
But Steven's goofing around in his Western outfit, and so is Dodo, and he has a gun for some reason.
He has a gun, and the doctor's like, why would you do that? Like, you're literally asking to get shot.
And the doctor says 1,000 times, like, I hate guns and I don't drink. And it's like, well, what are you doing in a Western?
Every time the doctor says something like, I don't drink, he's just very similar to me in, like, high school. Where I'm like, you're so young. You're so young right now.
I feel it's something like he used to drink and now he very purposefully doesn't. Or we had one too many one night and now certain planets no longer have moons.
But yeah, you say you're going to get shot. And yeah, Steven gets shot. Like, Wyatt Earp shoots the gun out of his hand and then's like, stop being idiots. I'm going to protect you.
He's like, I'm going to take you to jail so that you don't hurt yourselves. Like, I don't even know who you are, but I know you can't be trusted here. That's what I know.
How long have Steven and Dodo been around? I haven't watched all of the first Doctor.
Steven's been around for a while. Dodo's relatively new.
She's been like two, three serials.
And she gets a fantastic outfit every time. She has the best wardrobe.
Is she the River Song of the 60s? River Song always has a great wardrobe when she shows up.
Outfit-wise, yeah, but not personality-wise. Yeah.
Outfit-wise, yeah.
Her personality-wise seems to mostly be running around.
I like her, though. She just
is whatever she is, man.
Dodo just enjoys everything. I like that.
Where's she from?
She's from Earth.
She's from Earth.
Round about the same time as Barbara and Ian.
Okay, so modern day for them.
Yeah. Steven's from the future, but not like super. I mean, I guess he's super in the future.
What was he relative to Vicky? I mean, like, they came from basically the same time, right?
Yeah. But I don't think he's like he knows as much as, like, say, the Doctor or whatever, so.
He does get really, like, historicals are always great with him because he doesn't know what's going on at all.
And we're like, we don't either.
I think with this historical, it was sort of weird. You know, I've got a half knowledge of these events, and it's sort of like the assumption was that the audience kind of knew what was going on already. Like, who all these characters? Oh, well, it's Wyatt Earp. You know who he is. Okay. Did you guys get that feeling more so than on some other historicals?
Actually, I followed this one a little bit easier than some historicals because, I had seen Tombstone. And also, I don't know. The guy who wrote this episode, he also did another historical called The Mythmakers, and we both really enjoyed The Mythmakers. And I feel like this has a lot of the same strong suits, but there's also some stuff that doesn't work as well.
In the last chance saloon. There's the song, and there's also the fact that it relies so heavily on this story.
That doesn't really need the Doctor in it.
Because he has no real effect on the outcome. He's just there.
Yeah, any sort of, like, plot with the Doctor and the companions is they're sort of stuck in this situation that they have no control over. Like, it's not like they're really doing anything.
Because, I mean, this is the point where still, like, historicals, they're not changing the outcome or influencing it. Like, they're a little bit, but it's like, well, this is how it worked. We gotta let that continue to happen.
But I will say, I mean, I feel like the dialogue and the humor in this serial was really... really strong, much like it was in The Mythmakers.
The casting was great. I mean, considering they were all British, they were all very good Western-y dudes.
I especially liked Doc Holliday. I thought he was great.
He was a great little, like, weird weasel muffin.
Weasel muffin, yes. But so...
There's a gang sort of tooling around Tombstone that's out to get Doc Holliday, and that's the Clanton gang, because Doc Holliday shot one of their brothers, and I guess there's like 9 or 10 of those brothers.
That's
I don't know.
Exactly the kind of thing that I hate about Westerns. Just stop shooting people! Just stop it! What's your problem?
It always leads to more shooting.
So that's all I am, like, the whole time I'm watching a Western. It's like, what are you doing?
So
you're just making yourself more problems. I don't understand.
But yeah, so they've come after Doc Holliday because Doc Holliday killed one of their brothers. And Doc Holliday, they don't know what he looks like for some reason.
Yeah, they shot one of his brothers, but they don't know what he looks like.
Even though other characters know what other people they haven't met look like. I mean, I guess wanted posters, but it was kind of weird of fun with recognizing people. And like, yeah, they get the Doctor confused with him since they're both Doc. And that's really the brunt of the plot point for him.
Even though it doesn't really go... anywhere.
But I love the Doctor ends up introducing Dodo and Steven as musicians. That's why they're dressed as ridiculously as they are.
Which is pretty good.
And he gives them the best names. He calls him Steven Regret Taylor. And I laughed every time, because they just, everyone else in the serial...
they just, yeah, refer to him as though that's his name. They call him Regret. And he'd be like, what?
It's spot on. It's a great name. Regret is really his middle name.
He introduces them as musicians, and then maybe a little bit later, they're like, play the piano! And he's like, I can't play the piano! And then they pull up their gun, and they say, play the piano! And then he sits down and plays the piano. He's like, oh, I just need a gun pointed at me to do it correctly. Is that, I mean, should we try that with regular people? Pull a gun on them and tell them to play a musical instrument and see how good they are?
I like that Dodo was so offended, too.
Dodo didn't get as cool a name as, well, or as... silly a name. She got Dodo DuPont.
This is my first episode with Dodo, so I just thought that was her name.
No, her name's Dodo Chaplet.
Well, that's much, much less Western-y. So much.
And the Doctor introduces himself as Dr. Caligari, right?
Or I however you don't pronounce remember that. That.
One of the guys that, Wyatt Earp's like, Doctor Who? And he's like, yes, quite right.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
They did the thing.
That was part of the Doctor Who joke, but actually made kind of sense. Because he says, my name's Dr. Caligari. And I go, who? Like, they couldn't hear him because he was a mumbly pig.
And then he's like, the Doctor's like, well, I got this toothache. And Wyatt directs him towards Doc Holliday, who's retired from gunfighting and is going to open a dentistry place.
Because he really was a dentist, as per Wikipedia.
He's going to settle down.
Settle down with the lady what sings the song.
In the last chance saloon.
Kate, his lady wife.
Who's fantastic because she works at the bar singing and she's just like, I'm going to leave now. And the barman's like, no, please. And she's like, nah, I'll be back whenever. And he's like, but it, okay.
That bartender was so dumb.
He would like just say anything for, like, no reason. Like, he would just, oh, you've just come into the bar. Let me tell you everything that's going on.
Yeah, and then later on he's like, I won't say nothing. And they're like, yeah, you will. You've said everything without anyone asking you to.
Like, yeah, just completely unasked for. You just like, well, guess who's in town? Doc Holliday and the Clanton boys are at it again. Yeehaw!
I don't know what that was.
I don't know either.
Stupidity doesn't last long in the Old West.
So the doc goes to get his teeth taken care of and walks in on Risque, the doc and Kate making out. Because that's what you want to walk into when you go to a dentist.
So she's sort of his, like, nurse or hygienist?
She's just there to watch. She's really creepy.
It's really boring around here. I guess I'll go watch teeth get pulled.
Like, literally, he has to tell her to leave. And he's like, aw, I wanted to see.
I still can't believe that he entrusted that for his medical care. It just seems really stupid.
Well, to be fair, like, he was like, I don't really want to do this. But, like, everybody's forcing him to do it.
But not really. Like, he could very easily
just say no. I think, like, Dodo and Steven were like, no, doctor, you've got to get your teeth taken care of. And they're like, we're in the West.
I mean, they did literally. They were like, I sure hope he's not expecting to get any painkillers. And then laugh. I was like, damn, guys, calm down.
Like, the doctor just saved their lives in, like, two previous serials. And they're like, all right, time to get some torture for the doc. Like, that seems a little unfair. So, meanwhile, Steven and Dodo are at the bar getting rooms and talking very openly about the doctor, which the Clantons overhear. And like, oh, a doctor? That must be the doctor we're out to shoot down.
There's only one doctor in Arizona.
Yeah, and they're like, so Steven and Dodo must be his partners.
His band members.
And then, of course, the doctor comes back and
there is much kerfuffle. The entire plot was kerfuffle.
Yeah, and before that, though, like, Wyatt Earp warns Doc Holliday that the Clantons are in town. And with this knowledge, Doc Holliday is like, I'm going to dress up this doctor guy like me and give him my gun, which is devious but wonderful.
I like how much the doctor, like, tries really hard not to take the gun, where he's like, I don't want that. I don't like guns. But he's just, like, flustered into taking it.
And he's like, well, you're in the Wild West, sir. You have to have a gun.
It would be rude not to.
But, like, he's just somehow ends up with it anyway.
And then that's where we get the Clantons hold up Steven and Dodo and make them play music just to prove their aliases, I guess. And, like, yeah, well, because Dodo plays really well. Steven sings okay.
Yeah, he sings okay.
And Steven sings the same damn song we've been hearing this entire damn
They only
serial.
Had enough money for one song.
In the Last Chance Saloon.
So when it came time for them to have to sing, they were like, well, we already bought this song, so
it was a slightly faster tempo. Instead of the Last Chance Saloon, it was Last Chance Saloon. That was, like, literally the only difference.
Yes.
And that was the end of the first episode. Wow, we flew through that. Yeah. A holiday for the doctor, and we're now on to episode 2. Don't shoot the pianist. Which Tony got worried about because she thought it was going to be Dodo.
It freaked me out. I was like, no one's shooting Dodo. I'll be very upset.
Which she wasn't the pianist at that point because, again, hey, the one lady came in and just changed the band around for her own pleasure.
She was at the end. I think that they changed
it. She was at the end of the first episode, but when the second episode starts, Kate comes in and is like, switch out. I'm going to sing because you suck.
And Dodo's so offended because she was like, I was having a good time playing piano. I'm also playing piano.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
And Steven's like, get out of here. Like, this is a dangerous situation. And she's just pissed because she was playing the piano and she was really enjoying herself.
And again, he's like, I don't play piano. And she's like, do you play piano now that I'm pointing a gun at you? And he goes, okay. And plays the exact same song.
In the Last Chance Saloon.
Again, with the exact same proficiency. Really well.
He's from the future. They don't have pianos in the future. We barely have pianos now.
That's true.
That wasn't true. I was just being loud.
I agree with loud things.
He does.
But no, like, I feel like pianos used to be more prevalent, and now they are sort of. You don't have them as much.
Well, they had pianos because they didn't have iPods. Everyone would pull their money and buy a piano and then say, okay, you're all taking lessons, and then whoever's the best will play piano whenever we say. That's just how it worked.
Yeah. That's totally exactly true.
100%.
Historically accurate.
Now we all just have pocket pianos.
The I-piano.
But yeah, the Doc comes by and the Clantons are like aiming to shoot him down. The Clantons pull a gun on the Doctor. The Doctor seemingly shoots the gun out of the Clanton's hand.
But it wasn't him, you
it
guys.
It wasn't him. It was Doc Holliday on the stairs.
They kind of, like, dropped their guns and surrendered really easily. Like, they got their guns out and they're messing around. They're being bullies. And then Doc Holliday shoots their gun out of their hands. And they're like, oh, let us hand you our guns.
Like, there's, like, six of them.
Obviously, the Doctor's gonna come out okay, but they could have just rushed him and been fine. They got plenty of brothers. They could lose a few.
They already have. I do like how, though, like, the Doctor's like, no guns, no guns. And then, like, the second he has the upper hand, he's like, I have a gun, so you have to do what I say. He just totally goes in for it. And then, Kate, what do I do? Like, he just turns to Doc Holliday's wife lady.
Because she's kind of orchestrating this whole thing.
So he just, like, he's turning to her, like, all right, now what do I do? Now what do I do? I've never done this before.
There is a moment where he's like, I do have the gun. Or he says that he's going to shoot them because he's got the gun. And they're like, but we're unarmed. And he's like, exactly. And they're like, rude?
Yeah.
That's not how guns work.
You can't shoot people without guns.
It has to be a fair fight. Well, they make about that later. It's like, you shoot him in the back? And he's like, yeah, I just want him dead. Oh, you sure you didn't want to, like, have a shootout? No, I'll just shoot him and he's not looking. Oh, okay.
But yeah, and they're, like, not as offended. Like, they're a little bit offended, but not enough to, like, stop going along with him.
With Ringo, you mean?
Wait, the Beatles were there?
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife walked in at that point when it was Ringo, and she's like, Ringo, that's stupid. And I'm like, these were all real people.
She's not wrong, though. It is stupid.
Like, everybody had to have colorful names back then.
Like,
or
regret.
Else you weren't a real gun fodder. So you had, like, Doc Holliday, Johnny Ringo, Bat Masterson, Wyatt Earp, Kate.
Now, I thought that Kate was the Miss Kitty that is also a character. Is that from a TV show? I don't know.
Not a thing I know about.
Western movie TV shows and Western real life are basically the same.
Someone in the future at this very moment is furiously texting us.
I can't believe you don't know this one fact.
Well, they're not texting me. They don't have my number.
They're texting us. But yeah, Wyatt Earp comes in and breaks it up and arrests.
Well, like, actually in the West, most of the time people wore bowler hats instead of Stetsons, but that wouldn't look very good, now would it?
But yes, no, it would. It would look awesome. Yeah. I would be down for bowler hats.
I look great in a bowler hat.
I want to see more bowler hats.
Yeah, but they make you look like a banker.
But yeah, but Wyatt Earp comes in and busts it up and arrests the Doctor, basically to protect the Doctor, but also starts calling him Pop, which offends the Doctor.
I already have a nickname, he declares.
He doesn't want to be like, hey, this isn't Doc Holliday, because he's a friend of Doc Holliday's and wants him to, like, get out of town. But he doesn't, you know, want someone innocent to die, because that would be a bummer.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty good, like, sheriff of wanting justice and stuff. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, except he's friends with Doc Holliday. So, the Clantons are hanging out in the bar, waiting, I don't know, just plotting and
scheming.
And while
being jerks.
The
being
real Doc
giant
Holliday.
Western jerks.
The real Doc Holliday, Kate and Dodo, are sort of, like, all up in this hotel room above the bar. Waiting for things to clear out. And, like, Steven's stuck down there with the Clantons.
Dodo's seen, like, everything go down. And so they kind of, like, grab her and are like, well, you can't hang out here. You're with us now.
The Clantons are, meanwhile, trying to convince Mr. Regret to break out the Doctor. Basically so they can kill the Doctor. But they're like, how did they talk him into it? I don't know. Like,
I mean, literally, he's like... So, he just wants to break the Doctor out so they can get in the TARDIS and go. Because he's like, so you want me to break out the Doctor?
They don't seem in any rush to get in the TARDIS.
He's like, you're definitely not going to be waiting to ambush us, right? And they're like, yeah, right. And he's like, he's so stupid, he doesn't know. And Steven's like, okay, they're stupid, I'm just going to go anyway. And like...
But yeah, they give him a gun, and then he's going to give that gun to the Doctor, and the Doctor will use that to break out. He, like, crawls up to the prison cell window and slips him the gun, which that's a really poor place to have a jail cell. Like, with a window where you can conveniently trade guns. But the Doctor gets the gun and is like, I want this, and gives it to Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp's like, I know I locked you up for a reason. That's just how that jail gets their guns. Prisoners will get them, and then they'll conk them on the head and take them. They've got so many guns in the back room.
From just people that don't know how to break out of prisons properly. But then the Clantons gather a mob and are like, release the Doctor, or we're going to hang Steven.
Which is scary.
And while they're doing that, the Dr. Holliday comes down Dr. Holliday. Doc Holliday.
They do call him Doctor at one point, and he's kind of annoyed. He's like, no, no, I'm Doc.
Which is great, because that's the opposite of what the doctor's like, don't call me Doc. That's fantastic. See, that's what I'm saying. The dialogue in this serial is actually pretty good. Like, there's a lot of comedy.
It's not necessarily, it's not a good Doctor Who, it's just a good low-budget Western.
Yeah. But yeah, the Doc Holliday is like sneaking out, shoots a Clanton, which upsets Dodo. He takes Dodo.
Because Dodo's like me. Dodo doesn't want to see anyone get shot.
And he takes Dodo with him as they're going to leave and escape and get out of Tombstone while all this rigmarole's going on at the jail. But yeah, so that's how that episode ends, is basically with like, we're going to hang Stephen, Mr. Regret.
It's funny every time. It hasn't stopped being funny yet.
And that's the end of Don't Shoot the Pianist. Hang him. The beginning of episode 3, Johnny Ringo.
I want really like Rocky and Bullwinkle style to be continued, where it's, join us next time for Don't Shoot the Pianist, hang him instead.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to say real quick, when we finished recording our last podcast, at the end of it, we were talking about that whole caramel thing, and I was like, they're thinking it was poison and stuff. And we started talking and saying, I was like, I'm going to spoil it for you. It's just a toothache. And he goes to see a dentist. And you were like, that's not really what happens, is it?
It is.
And then Chris was like, and they're singing.
In the last chance saloon.
And you were like, pfft. And we were right on every single front.
Yes.
So you have to eat my hat. I think that was the rule. Because I said if I was wrong, I'd eat my hat. But by law, that's you have to works. Eat my hat.
I don't want to eat any hats. Also, this is my favorite hat.
You don't have to eat the hat you're wearing, just a hat that you own.
All right, then I will make hat cookies tonight.
Anyway, Johnny Ringo. Earp won't let the doctor go. And then sort of knocks out a Clanton and takes him into the prison, frees Steven, and is like, you all are being stupid.
Right.
Cut it out.
Calm down.
A lot of people die in this serial, like, just get shot, like, way more than I was expecting for a children's TV show.
Because that's just how the West works. Because the West is stupid.
And I wonder if this episode is partially, well, even more further cements the Doctor's dislike of guns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, like, this is his first real, I mean, he's been before, like, I don't like guns, but like, this is the first one where there's been a lot of gunplay, especially at the end.
I feel like any time in Doctor Who where there's a lot of guns, they're in America.
That question comes up whenever I'm with British friends. They really want to clarify how much gunplay America actually has, which according to the news lately is like a lot. Not like in my life personally, they're like, oh, you don't own a gun, are you sure? You're an American though, right? And I'm like, yeah, I've got a crossbow, but I'm, you know, I'm normal.
I mean, I know at least two people off the top of my head who own guns, so.
I have a BB gun that looks like a real gun that I mostly use for filmmaking as a prop.
My landlord has a gun. He came by to fix the toilet, and he beans over, and he's just got a big gun sticking out of his butt area. I'm like, oh, interesting.
My IT guy at work has one, and he keeps it in the same place, and I found out about it the same way. That he was, like, working on computers, and I was like, whoa!
So you can't get into a computer argument about him or get mad at him because Microsoft Word's not working?
No.
The gun news and what's up with America and guns lately just seems so weird. I don't want to sidebar politics, but, like, if you have a gun, you're going to come up with a lot of gun-based solutions to your problems. I think maybe that's why a doctor doesn't like it. Like, when he had the gun, he was like, what do? I can't make any quips or try any being clever because I have a gun. Like, I need to get rid of this gun so I can make more jokes.
That's it. Yeah, I like that idea of that being why he's opposed to guns. It's not because it's, like, morally wrong. It's just like, I can't be clever with a gun. I'm not opposed to killing.
Things.
I'm just opposed to killing people with guns.
You don't need to be clever if you have a gun because people will still laugh at your jokes because you order them to. Under penalty of gun.
Under penalty of gun.
That sounds like a great shtick for a stand-up comedian who doesn't mind going to jail.
You have to shoot one, just one person, just, you know, so they know you're serious.
To set a precedent, yeah.
Well, to let them know that you're serious
about being
funny.
Yeah.
Oh, where were we?
I have no idea, man. So, comedy and guns.
The bartender rats out Doc Holliday.
Yeah, the bartender, like, he's not even offered anything. He's just like, I like snitching on people and I'm still alive somehow. He's the worst. He dies in a minute and he deserved it.
Oh.
That he rats out the Doc Holliday and run away. So the clans are like, well, we need a new plan. And they're going to basically hire, I suppose, Johnny Ringo to kill Wyatt Earp for some reason. Do they still think the Doctor's the Doctor? Why do they want to kill Wyatt Earp all of a sudden instead of Doc Holliday? I don't remember the reason.
Ringo's been hired to kill Doc Holliday, and he's like, nobody kills Doc Holliday but me. And so like, okay, can you kill this other guy too? Like, just kill them both, and then we'll laugh.
All right, fair enough.
That sounds about right. I don't know.
They didn't have their plan all the way thought through. They're kind of idiots.
And then, like, the bartender tells Stephen and the Doctor about Dodo being with Doc Holliday, because basically the bartender is now just exposition guy. I just fill in people who don't know what's going on. That's what he does now.
Doesn't matter who it is, what side they're on, doesn't matter. I just like talking. I just like hearing the sound of my own damn voice.
Which is quavery and Weasley.
He is another one of those stutterers.
You know, like Americans do.
Especially in the Old West.
We're a stuttery nation.
Doc Holliday, Kate, and Dodo get a room outside of Tombstone somewhere.
It took me a long time to realize that they had sort of left town. Because, like, where are they? They're over here. What's going on? That was, like, the third thing a lot. And he's like, well, I guess I'll have to take you back to Tombstone. And, like, you guys left Tombstone? Where'd you go? It's just surrounded by desert.
And that hotel room looks exactly like the hotel room they left.
I mean, they did good having a number of Western sets. I didn't know if they built them special for that episode or if the BBC has some Western sets lying around. But, like, they had a couple standard Western locations to choose from.
Yeah.
I think this, I read somewhere that this might have been the first Western done by the BBC.
What other Westerns have they done?
Mm.
That episode of Red Dwarf where it's very obviously England.
I don't know if they've even really done any. Because, like, why would you, I don't know, why would you do a Western when you're all British?
When Doctor Who did a Western recently, they went and filmed it in Spain. And I'm like, you guys, you were in America to film last season. Why are you going to Spain for your Western? Weird.
I haven't seen that yet. That's coming up.
Yeah, you should get caught up.
We're trying.
No, we've got like a whole year.
Oh yeah, we're going to have a gap year again. Have they done like 8 seasons in 10 years? They can't seem to do a normal schedule. It's weird. Obviously, it's time consuming and hard, but it's weird. They're like, yeah, we're doing 1 a year. Oh wait, no, not this year. I'm like, really? You can't just take an extra month or two? I don't know. I don't know how scheduling works. The thing I read was the BBC controller basically said, well, the Olympics are this year. So we thought, eh, we'll save Doctor Who. I'm like, are you sure?
That seems like a bizarre choice.
Because Moffat stepped down. Next season, it will be his last season as head writer. Did you hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course you did. You have the internet.
And it's going to be taken over by Chris Chibnall.
Who I know almost nothing about.
He's written a handful of episodes, but they've always been mixed bag episodes.
Mm. He also wrote probably one of the worst episodes of
Torchwood.
Yeah, Cyberwoman.
Everyone hates that one.
It's because it's awful.
Have you seen Dinosaurs on a Spaceship? That one was pretty good.
No, not yet. Tony has.
I've consistently talked about on this podcast how much I don't care for Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
It's probably his best episode, though, because his other ones were those other ones whose names elude me.
I couldn't tell you anything about Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and that's my major beef with it, is I remember the whole time it being too excited to be doing Dinosaurs on a Spaceship and not concerned with doing much else. That's the only thing I really remember about it, so it might not be a fair criticism.
It had Mitchell and Webb as robots. That was pretty great.
That was great. I do remember that now that you say it, and it was great.
Yeah, it had like 4 different episodes worth of plot going on. That was pretty cool. I mean, it was really excited to have dinosaurs. Like, obviously the show had been wanting to do dinosaurs for a really long time and do them, try and do them properly. Which they kind of did for whatever budget they had. Different episode, but like, it was good. I liked it.
I haven't seen it yet, so I cannot contribute.
As always, I will try to reserve. It'll probably be good. Doctor Who will always be good.
If it's not, don't worry. There'll be a new
It'll
one.
Change.
Yeah.
Even its crappy episodes are watchable, for the most part. I'm sure I'll get some angry texts about that. Even when it's bad, it's interesting. How about that?
Well,
like, there's not been an episode I've watched where I'm like, no! Ah! Well, I don't know. Let's Kill Hitler was pretty bad. But even that, there's still stuff in it I like.
It's weird how an episode can have a lot of stuff that was really good and interesting and still not be a good episode. It sometimes has great, like, repeat watching value, and sometimes it has, like, none. Doctor Who is a weird show. It's never the same show twice. With other shows, you know, it's basically, like, Buffy. There's episodes that are really good and episodes that are not as good, but it's always very recognizably Buffy. And it has the same sort of tone each time. Doctor Who, it can be a different genre every episode, which is a really cool thing about it, but man, it must make it really hard to make.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, sometimes it's a sci-fi thing, sometimes it's a horror thing, sometimes it's, you know, a mystery, you know, it's all over the place.
Which, again, is one of its greatest strengths and must be one of its biggest problems, because, like, having unlimited options really does make it hard to narrow down what you're actually going to do.
Yeah, and then you even have, like, episodes like Blink or, you know, Love and Monsters where, like, the Doctor's not even in it that much, so...
There's almost too much choice.
Which that's, I think, part of its scheduling issues is back in those days with Russell T. Davies, they would usually have a Dr. Light episode where just because of the filming schedule, they couldn't have him on set for that episode, which I thought always bred some really interesting episodes of just what is the Doctor Who universe up to when he's not around. It's kind
of
cool.
Unfortunately, in like this era of Doctor Who, it's William Hartnell's going on vacation, so he gets knocked out. Or he's like, I'm going to take a nap for an episode. Like,
that
that's happened a handful of times.
That is my favorite canon thing, though. But the Doctor just occasionally is like, I don't care what adventure is happening. It's nap time.
I mean, this episode had that a lot, too. It's sort of like, okay, well, it's nighttime. We can't really do anything at nighttime. We'll wait around for a while. Like, are you sure? It's not really a big deal from a storytelling perspective. I remember that, like, old Sherlock Holmes would have that a lot. They'd be, like, on the trail of a mystery. And they'd be like, well, it's 9 o'clock. I'll meet you back here to follow these footsteps in the morning. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm tired. I got a schedule to keep.
We can't follow footsteps in the dark.
How would we see them? Think, Watson. So Doc Holliday, Kate, and Dodo get a hotel room, and the doc apparently goes to get some food and just kills a dude for it. Or it's heavily implied that he killed a dude for his food.
Yeah,
it's just a joke. Just like, oh, you know, he doesn't need it. He's lost his appetite, I believe is what he said.
That is what he said. That's not cool.
Okay. I know you're an outlaw, but you're also kind of supposed to be a little bit of a good guy, right?
Right.
Can't just go randomly. Like, you killed a Clanton already, sure, but that's a Clanton. They're the villains.
They're there for killing.
You just killed some dude who wanted to stay at a hotel and eat some, you know, steak.
Right, just why don't like Westerns?
Fair enough.
Everyone's so rude.
And then Johnny Ringo shows up at Tombstone, talks to the bartender who says everything.
He says, let me catch you up on these stories so far.
Right, and then Ringo's like, well, you know too much, and you're going to tell everybody about me.
You knew my name, you're dead.
Shoots an unarmed bartender, which gets him into a little bit of hot water.
Yeah, that's cheating.
But again, not much.
And like, to be fair, I liked the bartender, and I was like kind of sad about him dying.
He went,
aww. He was stupid, but he was amusing.
And then the music kicks in.
In the last chance saloon.
And I'm like, stop! I was enjoying this sad moment and you've ruined it.
It had a new lyric, though, the music. He could have lived, but then he didn't at the last chance.
When you edit this podcast, can you intersperse that song? Just randomly?
Definitely.
Randomly! Yeah.
In the last chance saloon.
And then we get some more gunplay because Dodo's like, I'm tired of this bullshit, and like pulls a gun on Doc Holliday.
Because Dodo's been like, hey, you promised you were going to take me back.
I don't even remember you taking me away in the first place. I thought we're just in the hotel. But take me back. I can't walk outside all by myself.
Well, she probably doesn't know
where she is.
So she needs somebody who knows how to get to Tombstone.
Which they're not in, apparently.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite scene is her just like pointing the gun at Doc Holliday. And he's like, you can't kill me. Then how are you going to get back? And she's like, I'll shoot you in the arm. And he's like, well, you're pointed right between my eyes. So you might want to resituate.
He was just sort of amused. It was funny.
It was very cute.
He's like being very helpful. And then he's like, all right, fine. You got me. And she's like, oh, thank God. Can you take this gun?
I'm too British to understand it.
I'm so anxious right now.
I just need to sit down for a while.
I thought that scene was very
I think I've said it every time, but I enjoy Dodo. I enjoy Dodo Chaplet much. And I'm worried because you say she's not around for a lot, and I'm prepared to be sad.
Though this is sort of followed up by a trope I don't like, which is like, she's like, I'm so glad I didn't want to shoot you. And he pulls a gun out of his coat, and he's like, yeah, I didn't want to shoot you either. And then she faints.
What don't you like? The fainting?
The fainting. The fainting lady trope. It happens too often.
Wait, one of the dudes faints in this, right? Doesn't a dude faint later? Am I just hallucinating that? I feel like there's a lot of fainting going on.
There's a lot of dying.
I don't know about fainting. Dying for sure.
Fainting's for ladies. Dying's for men.
He was fainting at that bullet that went into him.
That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Steven somehow gets hooked up with Ringo.
And Ringo's like, I trust you. Hang out with me for some reason.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Why?
Everybody loves Steven.
That's true. It doesn't matter when Steven is, where he is. Everyone's like, hey, you stranger, hang out with us. We love you.
And he's going to go help him look for Doc Holliday. Then we get some song exposition that Johnny Ringo and Kate.
Song position.
In the last chance saloon.
More things should have exposition via unexpected music. I vote for that.
But it just tells us that Johnny Ringo and Kate used to be lovers.
The machine is so large.
That they used to be lovers, even though this has no bearing on the plot.
It just makes her lying to him more realistic.
Oh, no.
So Johnny Ringo kidnaps Kate, basically, and is going to take her to Clanton's. Clanton's bring the other... They get the other Clanton out of the jail.
But by shooting the youngest...
Erp's brother.
Erp's
Which,
brother.
Which, again, that's true. That really happened.
Rude. That's so rude. Not having any of it.
This serial has a pretty high body count. And this is, like, this is including, like, the episode where, the serial that was had massacre in the title. I feel like the body count on this is way high. And, like, yeah, so, yeah.
Again, because it's American.
Erp's brother is murdered. I don't remember him being in the serial at all until this episode.
Same. You're not alone.
They were. They're like, we gotta go do some stuff. Can you hang out here for a little bit and guard the prisoner? He's like, do I need a gun? And they're like, nah, don't worry about it. Someone will hand a gun in through the window soon enough. You can pick up one of those.
Yeah, but he does have a gun on the desk, and they're like, we can't shoot you till you grab the gun, because that wouldn't be fair. But as soon as you barely touch that gun, you're dead.
Dim's cowboy rules.
And that's the end of episode 3, Johnny Ringo. We're on to episode 4, the finale, the Okay Corral. And guys, things aren't okay.
This is the not good corral. Wait, come up with a better pun. That's not even a pun, it's so bad.
The no-kay corral?
No-kay corral. Fine.
And it's not great, but it's still better.
Much. That's the sad thing. It's awful, and it's still much better.
And the doctor's like, you know, I don't want to have any part in this, which is...
what he's been saying the whole episode. I can't deal with this cowboy bullshit. Just leave me alone until everyone's rescued.
There is no science here, and I am bored.
And then Wyatt Earp's like, all right, not gonna do that. Gonna deputize ya. Which, now we have the deputy doctor.
Spinoff. Deputy who?
Which I thought was great, because there's very little reason for him to do that, except kind of be an ass.
That's, again, they just had to squeeze in a couple more cowboy things. We need to play the piano and have a shootout in the bar and try to lynch a guy and just, like, add some extra cowboy stuff into this true story.
I know I was, like, reading, like, and they've definitely moved some stuff. Like, there's people at the OK Corral fight that were not at the OK Corral fight in real life. They put people there. Like, I'm not sure if Johnny Ringo was there or not.
In real life, they had to have a better reason for having the shootout at the OK Corral, right? Because these are like, where should we have a shootout? The OK Corral has enough space. Yes. Go tell them we'll shoot them at the OK Corral. Okay, good.
No, that sounds like real life.
Oh, I want to say, so, like, where he deputizes the doctor is at the bar, where the bartender is just laying there dead. I think they've covered him up. And the doctor's just like, oh, I can't deal with this shit, and, like, leans on the body.
Leans on the body. And it's awkward and gross.
Oh.
And that's a joke, I guess.
Wyatt Earp reacts very well acted, like, to the fact that his brother's been shot. And Virgil Earp is just like, oh, man. My brother's, okay. And, like, he has, like, no emotion about it. He's just like, okay, I'll go deliver these guys a message, which is really weird. Like, I don't think that is how it would work.
Like, you wouldn't be like, all right, I'll go tell them we're declaring war. You killed our brother. See you guys at High 8.
Does 8 work for you?
High 8.
See you guys there. Bring your own guns.
BYOG.
Dress casual.
Might be a little chilly. Wear bandanas. You guys wear black hats, and then we'll also wear black hats.
So that won't be confusing at all.
We'll have the mustaches. You guys remain clean shaven, okay? Okay, good.
But yeah, Wyatt's definitely got, like, blood in his eyes, and he's like, I want those Clantons.
Which, it's so weird. It's like, okay, I'll go murder them. And the guy says, wait here while I go get a warrant, since we're the sheriff, and he's obviously murdered someone. No. I'd rather kill them illegally. I'll still wait till morning, sure, but I'd rather get in trouble about it instead of doing it fair and square.
I'm not going to do it at night, because no one does anything at night.
Are you sure? That seems like a really stupid idea. Well, I'm Bat Masterson, and I tried.
I just want to say, like, everybody's hanging out at the Clanton's house, and, like, dire shit's going on, and Steven is just being, like, so over-the-top comic relief goofball, and I love every second of it.
We haven't talked enough about the fact that when, like, Steven first shows up, someone had mentioned that, I think you said you read a criticism that Steven overacts in this episode, and I'm like, no, it's totally in character. He was giving, like, his worst American accent, and it's terrible, and just being a giant goofball. Even when he's, like, in trouble, he's still kind of, like, being a goofball.
I love it so much.
He's just very aware of the fact that he's in a Western and it's all going to be fine for him.
Yeah.
So the doctor's going to go talk to the Clantons, which doesn't really do anything, does it? He goes to talk to the Clantons, but I don't know if it really mattered any at all. Like, I think he tried to appeal to them, but meh.
Oh, yeah, the doctor does try to talk them out of being gunfighters. They're like, no, I think we'll be gunfighters. And he's like, okay, well, I tried, you idiots. Because, like, they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to go shoot Wyatt Earp, and we're going to go shoot Virgil Earp, and they're going to shoot all the Earps, and it's going to be fine. And then, like, oh, Doc Holliday's there, too. What? Oh, no, now we'll all die.
Now it's too many.
Now we can't handle it. Because they've been trying to kill him the whole time. And then once they actually have the chance to do it, they're like, oh, crap, we can't kill him. We're not good enough. We only outnumber them a little bit.
But yeah, then the shootout happens, and there's lots of
pew, pew.
Shooting around. There's a nice moment where, like, Doc Holliday saves Dodo's life. Ringo grabs Dodo. Doc Holliday's like, hey, Dodo, don't. Because, like, Dodo's trying to save Doc Holliday.
Really badly. She just sort of, like, runs and spins. Like, it wasn't very well thought through.
Yeah, no. But it's nice. And then Doc has to save her. Doc Holliday. And I like that.
Right, the doctor doesn't do anything.
No, the doctor's like,
Not this whole time, no.
I'll be at the TARDIS. But yeah, Clantons all get shot. Johnny Ringo gets shot by Doc Holliday in a pretty badass way. Like, yeah, because, like, Ringo, like, grabs Dodo and, like, forces Doc Holliday to throw down his gun.
Dodo distracts him by twirling, and Doc Holliday shoots him with his other gun. Like, I'm not going to drop all my guns. Be serious.
That's part of the reason I do like Doc Holliday. He's like the Han Solo.
He should have come with him. I would have liked to have seen him in future episodes.
He's like the Han Solo. He's way cooler than Han Solo. Han Solo is a nerd.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Han Solo's a nerd? I'm interested in your theory, but pray continue.
Well, I mean,
he's
like,
he's a nerd.
yeah, everything's going fine up here. How are you?
What's going on with you guys?
Boring conversation anyway.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
That's pretty nerdy.
Here's a joke I heard last time I was in England that I liked really well. America's involvement in World War II was very akin to Han Solo's involvement in the destruction of the Death Star. Just show up, yell yahoo, fire the most important shot, and leave. I'm like, yep, that's right.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, I feel like Doc Holliday doesn't run as much as Han Solo does. I mean, he ran a little bit.
He sauntered. He's like, I'm your Huckleberry.
Man, I want to watch Tombstone. At the aftermath, all the Clantons have been shot. Johnny Ringo's been shot. And it pans over, and there's, like, this nice, like, lineup of, like, Earp and Doc Holliday. And was it the other Earp, maybe? Virgil Earp? I don't think Bat Masterson was there. I don't think.
Yeah, Bat Masterson was like, I want to wait and do this legal. You guys go ahead and be stupid.
But yeah, it's just a shot of their legs standing in like a line. And I was like, that is a nice shot. Because it's
good cinematography for the time.
Yeah, like, I feel like they don't do a whole lot with cinematography that much in early Who, at least so far. I mean, there's been a couple of shots where I'm like, that's great. And this is definitely one of them. I really like that shot. After it's all done, Doc Holliday gives the doctor a wanted poster of himself.
The doctor's like, I don't want this.
He literally, like, I think he throws it to the ground.
He does not care for that thing at all.
Which is the same, because Dodo probably would have liked it.
I think it's great that, like, Doc Holliday's like, you guys are leaving? Here's a memento of me, of how badass I am.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, I'm just like, thanks for coming by. Here's a picture of me.
I signed it and I smooched it.
So the doc's like, I'm done. Let's go. And then there's a caveman on their monitor. And
I didn't know there was a caveman. There was just some weirdo lurching towards them. It's like, this is very tacked on. Like, you're at the savages. It's like, you just left some pretty savage people.
Which I am worried about based on the title. Like, that's kind of a loaded word.
The savages. I vaguely remember it. It's a whole, like, smart people versus not so smart people thing. But, like, oh, you'll never guess who the actual bad guy is. Sort of thing. It's a morally gray serial, from what I recall.
Unlike this serial, where basically everyone was a murderer.
Right.
There's
everyone
guns left
here
and right.
Is too rude.
Those are the good murderers. Those are the bad murderers.
Yeah, one of the good murderers kills a dude for food. For no real reason.
And disguises someone as him so he won't have to deal with anything. Deal with some people he can obviously easily kill. And like he said, when he shot Ringo, what does he say? He's like, Ringo showed up, but he ain't coming back. He says something like really badass. What does he say? Ringo's here, but he's not here anymore. It's like really casual. Yeah, he's dead. It's a really good line, and you should appreciate it.
He's like, he was here, not anymore, or something like that. Yeah, they say Ringo's here, and he's like, well, he was. It's something to that effect.
All the bad murderers really did enjoy their death scenes of stumbling and dropping the pistol and making a face and collapsing to their knees, and like the bartender just died.
Most quiet the bartender's ever been.
Loud in life, quiet in death.
Well, yeah, that's it. We got through another serial.
Holy crap, yeah. We did another one.
Woo! Is it time?
It is time.
It's time for...
Final Thoughts! Final Thoughts! Final Thoughts! Final Thoughts.
You are our guest. Tell us, Ray, what are your final thoughts?
I think I said this before. This was a decent, low-budget Western. It wasn't great, Dr. Who. It was, they were just around. They were part of the plot by virtue of standing in the scenes that they were in. There are some good one-liners, and all the cowboys were pretty rad. Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday were very well done and memorable. The gang was stupid, like gangs are. I really liked the you can play piano at gunpoint. Like, if they were doing, when they do Doctor Who Westerns today, there's always some aliens running around in the West or some other non-historical element to make you go, oh, right, this is Doctor Who, not cowboy show. They could have used more space aliens. That's all I'm saying.
That leads me to a feature I want to be part of the podcast. And since you're the guest, you get to do it.
Woo!
Tell us, how would you do this episode if it was Modern Who?
I would make it that one of the Western people just was the Doctor. Not like a mistaken identity. Like, when he hangs around the West, he calls himself Bat Masterson. So he shows up and they're like, oh, hey, Bat. And his companions are like, what? And he's like, don't worry about it. Because Bat Masterson didn't really do anything. Again, it was very conscious of the historical stuff. And like we said, Wyatt Earp was really good. Like, they could have brought Wyatt Earp somewhere else and had this Western flavor in another episode or something like that. Some use of time travel other than as a lens to view something historical. Play around with it a little bit more. Like, the way they did it was good, but it wasn't Doctor Who. It was just a Western.
I actually would love to see more straight-up historicals in Modern Who. I get tired of being in the past and being like, oh, also, there are aliens here, too?
Aliens have very much dominated what the point of the show is, but it can be interesting and gripping without any aliens. It's just kind of, that's not necessarily your expectation anymore. Like, I would love to see, I think I said this on the Marco Polo one, but there's the Marco Polo TV show that they're doing at the moment with great sets and stuff. I feel like Doctor Who having a crossover with a historical TV show could be, like, amazing. I would love to see that happen.
I don't feel like you'll see any historical show go for that, though.
I don't know how you can handle that well, but, you know, the BBC does plenty of historical dramas, and mostly historical dramas set in England, but if there was some, like, really interesting way of doing a crossover like that, like...
Doctor Who and Downton Abbey.
You could.
I'd watch it.
I mean, crossovers is usually the Flintstones meet the Jetsons, because we're not doing any more of either.
All right, Tony, what's your final thoughts?
I agree that it was mostly just a Western that Team TARDIS kind of happened to exist in. I really liked it. I liked a lot of the writing and the jokes and stuff. I did not care for the song.
In the last chance alone.
I mean, I'm fine with there being a bit of music, but definitely they repeated it ad nauseum.
To the point where if you can watch us watching it and, like, it just starts, like, the first couple notes plays and we're like, no!
One person can watch you watching it.
Yeah, one person can watch us watching it because we only have one Patreon. Or one patron for our Patreon. If you guys want to see us react unfavorably towards really terrible music, become a patron at patreon.com/watchathon, you guys, if you want to see us react to the episodes.
I don't feel like giving you more money.
We're not talking to you. We're talking to the audience.
But I am your Patreon.
And you get your reward.
I have to pay to be on the show.
You don't have to. You chose to.
You choose to because you're such a nice guy.
I just like taking my niceness out on you guys and blaming you for it.
Our other patron has been on the show as well, so.
But yeah, it's a pretty decent episode, or serial, rather. I enjoyed it. It was all right.
It did what it was trying to do, and it was very well done at doing those things. It could have chosen to do other things with the notion, but for what it set out to do, I think it achieved it. I think basically the, you know, how would you do it differently or modern or whatever, really it comes down to the Doctor should be more of a driving force of the plot of his story, because he really just kind of sat this one out.
Yeah, I feel like if you did it at Modern Who, I don't think he'd be so down for a gunfight.
Right, he'd be, I mean, that would kind of end up being the point of the show if it was a modern one is him trying to talk everyone out of having a gunfight.
It's there, but very barely.
And one person would have a laser pistol. I mean, be honest.
Oh my god, I'd like to see River Song in a
yes.
Western. That'd be cool.
I would like to see Doc Holliday would sneak inside the TARDIS with them and just rifle around and come out and have a laser gun and they don't even know about it. Like, he finds one in one of the buckets or something. Like, I'm sure you could contrive and make that happen and not seem stupid, because he's the greatest gun in the West. He needs a laser gun.
I'd make Doc Holliday way drunker, too.
One more final thought.
Yes, what's your final thought?
People in Westerns are rude!
Alright, my final thoughts. Yeah, I enjoyed the serial. I thought it was well written. Not necessarily great for the Doctor, but I hated the singing. But I feel like Dodo and Steven were fantastic. Mm-hmm. They're basically comic relief.
Regret.
I have no regrets for regret. But yeah, like, the comedy works really well. I feel like the drama works pretty well. Mm. I do feel like it did a really good job of, like, there was no point where I was, like, confused. Because, like, sometimes with the historicals, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But I feel like I kept up with the plot fairly well. Much like the Mythmakers. I kept up with the Mythmakers pretty well. I think this is the last serial that this writer wrote, and I wish he'd written more, because I like his style.
Mm.
It's very clear, but it's also very funny and playing around with stuff a bit. I mean, he didn't really play around much with this concept, but it was pretty much just a straight-up telling of Tombstone. But, yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was good. It was fun. It wasn't, like, a fantastic Doctor Who thing, but it's still, like, a really good serial.
They're very watchable. I don't know about rewatchable, but watchable.
I wouldn't, like, say, like, here, watch this. This is a great episode of Doctor Who to start on. But it's a fun one to watch, like, if you do know Doctor Who and stuff. So, but yeah, I'd say it's pretty good.
Solidly mediocre.
I feel like it expected you to be fairly familiar with who all the Western characters were to start with.
Yeah, but I feel like you could figure out a lot of it from context, or if you've watched Tombstone.
They were planning on you watching a movie that is old from our perspective, but in the future from theirs.
That's what I'd say. I'd say if you like Doctor Who, watch Tombstone. And then watch this episode.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fine.
And watch Marco Polo on Netflix.
Watch anything tangentially related to the episode that you're going to watch. I feel like more people would watch The Gunfighters than they would watch the Marco Polo episode, because
it exists.
It's a lot more watchable.
Yeah, it exists.
Yeah, existing, you know, that is a major point in its favor. The fact that it exists really did improve things.
I was about to say, how does this compare, your watching experience, how does it compare to watching Marco Polo?
I probably paid more attention to this one. Marco Polo was on my computer while I was drawing. You know, it's not like I'm drawing right now or anything.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time with The Savages, which is just me and Tony. No guests next week.
Well, fine, be that way.
If you like our stuff, feel free to check us out at patreon.com/watchathon for some extra goodies. Like, you'll get to see us talk about things. You can see us video wise and get to see us react to TV shows and get stuff early and all sorts of cool stuff.
Will we?
Yeah.
Will we, Joe?
Yes.
You really will.
You really will. Thanks, Ray, for being on the show. I'm really looking forward to Small Gods.
Yeah, whatever.
And we'll see you next time on The Watchathon Wrestling!
Yay. At the Last Chance Saloon.
There's gamblers from Denver, there's guns from the South, and many a cowboy with a dry, dry mouth. There's a ragtime piano and a small back room for to sleep off your troubles in the Last Chance Saloon.